The Fed faces a juggling act. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Federal Reserve is gathering in Jackson Hole, Wyoming this week, as it does every year, to present and mull over economic data and trends. And by golly, there is a lot to mull over this year. Fed Chair Jerome Powell will be delivering a speech Friday morning to which bankers and investors will be paying great attention. One of the people who will be watching closely is Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives.
The Fed has to sort through a number of cross currents right now. On the one hand, the data has been very strong. The labor market is adding lots of jobs. Growth has been strong. On the other hand, there are signs that tariffs are weighing on businesses' plans for investment. And there's lots of trouble overseas in emerging markets from Turkey to Venezuela to Argentina. So there are some concerns that that could eventually spill into the U.S. and slow down this, what has been a fairly robust growth picture.
Does the Federal Reserve actually, to put it bluntly, care about what is happening to emerging markets as a result of U.S. interest rate policy or other policy?
The Fed cares to the extent that it can affect the United States growth outlook. So we are in a very globalized economy. We are very interconnected. We have seen developments overseas from Europe to China affect our growth prospects. So that is the prism through which they are looking at it.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Let's take a look at the numbers. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 89 points. That's 0.4%. The S&P 500 is up 0.2%. The NASDAQ also up 0.2%. And the 10-year Treasury yield is inching down this morning. It's at 2.84%. More than 300 people have died in the southern India state of Kerala after monsoon rains caused severe flooding there. The rains are expected to slow this week, but about 800,000 people have already been displaced. The flooding covered the area's major airport, making recovery efforts more difficult. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, has been following this. Good morning, Anu.
Hi, Sabri.
So can you tell us about the scope of these floods? They sound massive, and what damage they've caused.
Absolutely massive. I mean, Kerala is no stranger to rain. The monsoon rains come up every year. This year has been absolutely devastating. I mean, you've got people up to their necks in water. You've seen buildings just being washed away. And the initial estimates suggest that there's something like $2.9 billion worth of damage. There are more rains predicted. The airport is still closed. Parts of the commercial capital, Cochin, are underwater. And, you know, Kerala, for centuries, was a major stop on the international spice route. And still today, it produces 97% of India's pepper crop. Other things like rubber, coffee, tea, and lots of other spices, those crops have all been affected.
Tourism, too, is a major part of Kerala's economy. Do we have any estimates of what this might do to that?
Reports suggest that a lot of people have canceled visits to Kerala. There is a big festival coming up, which is the Onam Festival. It's a big Hindu festival around the harvest. That has been disrupted. Normally, people would be out spending a lot of money on gifts of gold and clothing and food. But obviously, with all this devastation, far fewer people are going to participate in that. Now, according to the Economic Times newspaper in India, the state government is looking for revenue because agriculture and tourism, the two main drivers, have been affected. So they've hiked taxes on booze, on liquor, by 3% for the next 100 days. And they're hoping that's going to help.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, thank you so much.
Thanks, Sabri.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Rosé wine has long been dismissed by wine buffs as, well, cheap, tawdry even. Like maybe it'd be okay for a barbecue if you drank enough of it. But forget the critics. The popularity of rosé is surging in the U.S. Sales doubled in 2017. The pink-colored wine is now daring to compete with its more respected red and white siblings. John Lawrenson reports from the rosé region in Provence, France.
In the sun, the cicadas are singing. While at an old chateau an hour's drive from Saint-Tropez, they're bottling up pale pink wine. You get the colour, by the way, by using the same grapes as for red wine and taking the skins off early. This one's called Whispering Angel.
Whispering is our most predominant label. This year we're producing over 6 million bottles.
Tom Schreckinger, communications director for the winemaker Chateau d'Esclos.
How many of those 6 million are sold in the United States?
Well, good heavens, our business in the States is in excess of 60%.
But it's not just quantity. The creation of what Schreckinger calls grand rosés at $100 a bottle is a new twist to success built on technical improvements that wine expert Elizabeth Gabay says were pioneered here in Provence. She just published a book called Rosé Revolution.
When I was doing the book last year, and I think I had over 2,000 rosés in 6 months, different rosés, and by the end, I thought, I'm going to celebrate with a really gorgeous bottle of red wine. And I just couldn't face it. I just got so used to drinking rosé wine because it is relaxing and easy.
But then you find wine drinkers like Patrick Bourg, I met at the street market in the village of Ramatuelle.
For me, rosé is not real wine. And above all, I love red wine. So I don't know why I should start drinking rosé.
But the pink stuff is on the up. The French still only drink rosé in summer, but a survey by UK-based consultancy Wine Intelligence says most Americans now say it's good all year round. In Provence, this is John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
Pepsi is buying SodaStream for $3.2 billion. SodaStream makes those contraptions where you can carbonate your own water at home, make your own soda in different flavors. The move is seen as finding a new way to reach consumers at a time when online grocery shopping is on the rise and sugary drinks are on the decline. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.